All right, we all have stress in one way or another. But for some students nowadays who are under more and more pressure to succeed, that stress can be debilitating. Should they get mental health days? Welcome to The Full Story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak, and thanks for being part of our show today. If at any point you'd like to comment on the discussion, drop us an email. We're at tfs@wshu.org, and if you're a Facebook user, we're right there. Full Story WSHU. Look, I don't know about you, but I've done it. I'm pretty sure you've done it too at some point. You call into work and you say, I'm not feeling well. We stay home because we need a mental health day because we're going to snap. But what about for students? There are plenty of reports nowadays talking about the mental health crisis that is taking place at colleges and universities. And now we're hearing more and more about how our kids are struggling in middle school and high school. So what should be done? New York State Senator Brad Hoyleman is joining us because he has a plan to deal with this. Senator, thanks for your time today. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much, Ron. Glad to be on the show.
Senator, what's your plan?
Well, you know, it is a proposal in the form of a bill up in Albany that would establish mental or behavioral health issues as a permitted reason for a student's absence from school.
Okay, but Senator, let's say this goes through and a youngster stays home. Is that going to help the overall problem? Don't schools have the trained personnel to deal with this, to offer guidance?
You know, it's a great point that we need to do more in our schools to recognize the issue of mental and behavioral health. The point of the legislation is that well-being is not just limited to you know, physical well-being. And, you know, we've seen this, Ron, in recent years, the rates of persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness among students and young people. And what's really more upsetting is the rates of suicide among children. And this is, of course, National Suicide Prevention Month and the beginning of school. And we've seen that suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people aged 10 to 34. So we clearly have to do more in terms of helping young people come to terms. The idea behind this bill is that let's recognize mental and behavioral health for what it is. In our schools, no one, no kid should have to lie to their parents or cover to their teacher about the fact that they may be having a behavioral issue that is keeping them from home. And sadly, that is the current state of play.
Senator, you mentioned parents. Have you spoken with any of them? I mean, what are they saying to you? Because it's not so easy for parents to take off from their jobs to possibly take care of their youngster when he or she stays home.
Well, that's certainly the case. I mean, I'm a parent myself of a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old. Creating additional reasons for a child to have an absence, of course, is a problem for the parent. But looking at my own personal situation, you know, I'd want to know that, particularly if it is something that can be at times as intangible as a mental health issue. Children need to have the space to talk to their parents about this incredibly important issue. And by stipulating it as such with the State Education Department, you know, I think, and a lot of behavioral experts and psychologists agree with me, that gives them the chance to speak honestly and openly with their parents about an issue that can be extremely debilitating for a young person.
Senator, I hear you. Mine just started college, only one. But I have to tell you, there were a few times in high school where I basically looked at him and said, you need a mental health day. Stay home, because the stress you could see staying up till 1, 2 in the morning, doing your homework, doing all those things. And quite frankly, he just didn't look good. And I said, you need to just cool your jets.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're seeing this in studies among children. Something like 32%, Ron, of high school students have experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. 13% of students, and this is really striking and upsetting, have made a suicide plan in the last year. That's you know, risen from 10% just a few years ago. And the number of children and teenagers treated in emergency rooms for suicide attempts and suicidal thoughts has nearly doubled over the last decade. So we are facing a burgeoning mental health crisis among our children. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I mean, certainly, you know, kids are talking about being bullied more at school and on social media. But what are we going to do about it? And I think this is one way to put in our statute that we, as a state and as a society, need to recognize it and, as you suggest, need to have the resources to deal with it. And I'm a member of the LGBTQ society, and our community is, you know, facing rising rates of you know, gay and trans kids attempting suicide attempt as well. So this strikes, you know, home for me as a parent and as a gay dad on both counts.
Senator, give us your action plan. How many mental health days? How would this work?
Well, there isn't, you know, look, this is something that we would allow the state education department, actually direct them to establish rules to implement the change in law. So, you know, groups like the New York Association of School Psychologists, you know, would be a group that presumably the state education department would reach out to, or the National Alliance on Mental Illness in New York State. It would be up for our state education department, long and short of it, to establish those guidelines, but it would be very, you know, it would be not much different than the current situation involving the traditional sickness days that are permitted in New York state law.
Are you worried about some students taking advantage of this, you know, if they don't prepare for a test or don't do their homework? Are you worried about that they are going to fall back on this? Mom, Dad, I don't feel well, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, that is the current situation, too, of course. So you can't really get around, you know, that to the extent that a child is going to misstate their reasons for not wanting to attend school. But we do want to give them the opportunity to express what could be a very debilitating situation, yet there is no chance for them to articulate that given our current rules. Now, New York law requires schools to develop their own attendance policies. And the type of absences are, you know, which ones will be excused or considered unexcused. The bill doesn't change the amount of days that students would be permitted to take. That's up for each school to determine. It simply allows absence for behavioral or mental health reasons and would direct the education department to implement the practice. Now, we're seeing this in other states. Oregon recently initiated a law that was signed into effect back in July. The inspiration for it, in part, was a parent whose daughter died by suicide and was unable to have the opportunity to talk to her parents about what was happening, And her mom believed that those kinds of mental health conversations might have saved her life.
Senator, I only have 1 minute left. I'd like to get you back in the future for a much longer conversation. But what do you say to some parents who have said this to me? And they've said, look, this is the way it is nowadays. Society has changed. Deal with it. Deal with the stress.
Well, you know, there's stress that we all deal with as adults and as young people. But for whatever reason, and it's often chemical or physical related to genetics, some people can handle it better than others. And when a child is unable to cope and doesn't have the internal mechanism or maybe the support at home or in the school setting to do so, we think it's appropriate for the state to assist. And part of this is using the tools that I have as a public official to help these kids. What I can do is to allow parents and children the opportunity to have an honest conversation at home about their mental and behavioral well-being, and hopefully provide resources in the school setting to address it.
New York State Senator Brad Hoylman. Senator, thank you. It was a pleasure. I hope you come back with us.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Take care. Be well. Let's continue that discussion now by bringing in Judy Ferraro, Professor of Education at Quinnipiac University. Professor Ferraro, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Ron. It's nice to be with you.
And also joining us is Professor Michael Alfano, Dean of the College of Education at Sacred Heart University. Dean Alfano, welcome.
Hi there. It's great to be here.
Professor Ferraro, I'd like to start with you, please. What do you think? Mental health days, a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. I think it really recognizes the fact that we do have young people, actually right from kindergarten on up, who are experiencing all kinds of different feelings. Some, when they're little, they may not recognize, but they are trying to communicate them to us. And as the kids get older, I think that it's very important for them to be able to feel that they can communicate with us and let us know that this is bothering me, or I feel anxious, or I'm depressed, or I'm feeling too sad. I don't want to go to school today for whatever the reason. I think it's a great idea.
Do you think that there should be a set number of days, or just leave it open-ended and look, if you need it, take it?
I think it should be open-ended. And the reason I say that is I'm really of a mind, and I was a former high school principal. I had a career in the city of New Haven for 34 years. And I really worked on all levels. And I think that the important thing is that we have children and staff in school who are really mentally focused and ready to be there. And yes, there are times when you might wake up and you're tired. We're not talking about that. But what we are talking about is the idea of whether you force a young person to come to school by holding over, you will or you won't pass this course or you'll fail or whatever, so they come but they're not actually present. Mm. Or whether we allow them to be able to say, I need help, I'm not feeling, for whatever reason, like I want to go to school today. And that kind of opens a door for them to be more able to communicate with us what's going on with them. And then we can help from there. So I would leave it more open-ended.
Dean Alfano, mental health days, good idea?
Well, absolutely. I agree with what's been said. And would just add that it's in addition to identifying these feelings and helping our young people all the way through our adult population, frankly, identify, it's really also helping them develop the skills to be able to sort of proactively identify and address and work through those behaviors that can be so disruptive to their ability to attend school all the way into adulthood, being able to adapt to adult life, holding down a job, relationships, et cetera. So for me, it's in addition to everything that's been said, it's also about empowering people with the skills to sort of self-regulate the stressors and anxieties that are part of of adolescence and the growing up process, frankly, and into adulthood.
Dean, what about those who say, look, schools were designed to help students. If they're in need of assistance, this is where they should be looking.
Well, I would agree with that. I think, when we talk about, I certainly subscribe to a sort of a whole child approach, and that the school is really a center of that sort of hub and the types of professionals, in addition to teachers who are working in that community resource. So I think schools have an obligation to be able to address both the physical and the mental health well-being of children, and there's ample evidence to suggest that's not only good just from a kind of moral and ethical perspective, but if you even looked at it from a pure achievement perspective, we know that kids who are supported from a whole child perspective, again, not just their physical health, but their emotional behavioral health, they tend to perform better academically. So there are many good reasons why this is an important part of what our school system should be able to do and help as part of a larger community effort to support the overall health of our children.
Professor Filaro, having gone through this, I like other parents, know that it's a big deal for your kid to take a day off from school. And I'm wondering how much additional pressure is added by having that kid play catch up, if you will.
Well, I think that's all part of how we go about implementing something like this. And I think to the dean's point about the idea that we're empowering and allowing children and young adults to self-regulate, to prepare them for the world of work, and just life as a grown-up, I think it's so important that we make it comfortable for them to come to school and have the supports at school, where if they do come to school, they can go see someone if they feel the need to talk. So if they come to school and then something happens that is upsetting to them in some deep emotional way, it's important to have those people in the schools. Like, I feel like we need more counseling and more mental health services to be available to our students because they're living in a tough time. And as far as whether we hold them to a higher standard because they have these days, in a way that defeats it. It doesn't help someone to know that if you take advantage of a particular benefit, then you're going to be punished in some way, and that just adds to the stress level. So I think those are all details that you get together as a team and you collaborate and you figure out how can we make this work well. And I think also that by having some supports in school and making school and the family able to work together and discuss this more openly, you eventually make it more comfortable for a student to feel like they can come to school and talk about whatever the problem is, and there isn't going to be a stigma attached. And I think that's an important part of it, too.
Dean Alfano, I think everyone listening would agree with everything that's been said so far, but can we take a look from the perspective of the parents right now? Because does this add another level of stress onto the parents? Because taking off from work to take care of a kid, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And, you know, I would say that it's as equally a big deal, you know, with other health challenges that their child or children might be experiencing. We wouldn't bat an eye if our child had, broke a leg or had the flu or some other sort of health-related issue that would require immediate intervention by a professional. Yet, as my colleague just mentioned, in the mental health space, stigmas remain. And that adds an additional layer of stress onto the parents who are trying to manage, oftentimes a very challenging set of circumstances that they're going through, the child's going through, and that they as a family are going through. So I think as we move towards destigmatizing this space, I think we need to treat it on par. And as I think the senator had alluded to in what he's proposed here, is that these sort of issues have to be held on par in the same light as other sort of health related issues that families and children experience, and really actively working to destigmatize anything health related challenges in the mental health space. I think that's really important. I think the point that was made about you know, multidisciplinary teams, the school community relationship that's so critical to these sorts of things. I think moving in those directions can really help to destigmatize the mental health space.
I want to bring in one more voice for the remainder of this segment. David Gamberg is Southold's school superintendent. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ron. Just a quick clarification. I'm actually a superintendent in Southold and Greenport, two small school communities on the North Fork.
My apologies. We'll get that right. We'll get that right for the next time, and we'll get it over on Facebook, so it'll be correct there. What do you think? Mental Health Day is a good idea?
You know, I really need to think about this. Honestly, I want to agree with your two other guests about the issues that students of all ages face, both in terms of social-emotional well-being, the school team working side-by-side with the families. From a practical standpoint, I do wonder. I spoke to a couple of counselors in one of the two districts that I work in, and their sense of it from a practical standpoint at this juncture, and we're two small communities, would be that if a student needs to take time off for a reason like that, there doesn't need to be a separate designation for that, per se. I do wonder about the unintended consequences, and honestly, I think that the primary, there's no silver bullet in any of this, and building strong teams at schools, engaging students in a healthy, joyous experience in school could be, you know, as important, if not more important, than having them at home in a situation where they are struggling.
Professor Filaro, let me try this with you. Is this symptomatic of how we all operate nowadays? You know, that drive to succeed, over-caffeinated world, work all the time, looking at the phone every 2 minutes. I mean, our kids see what we're doing, and they're thinking, hey, that's normal. Mom and Dad are doing it, so aren't they just copying us, including being stressed out?
I think there's more to the picture than that. I wish that was the whole picture, but I was a principal of a high school on the day that 9/11 occurred, and I remember looking at my kids and thinking, these kids don't even know how much the world just changed. And I think that we have a whole generation of young people who have grown up either with our country at war and with all of these situations happening with people being shot and children being attacked in their schools and all of that. So there's a lot of other pressures besides the ones that actually don't look that bad when you compare them to some of the emotional issues that are going on. It's a very complex situation. We have parents that are out working two or three jobs, so they're not home all the time like they were possibly when I was growing up and maybe the rest of you were growing up. We have children who are facing dangerous times everywhere they go. And we have a lot of pressure from testing and things like that. So, yes, we do have social media that's added a whole weird layer to living, I think. Too much intrusion from all of that. But if it was only one thing like that, like you look at your phone too much, you're on your computer too much, that's a different story, but what we're seeing is true anxiety and depression and fear, and those are things that have to be addressed, and I think if we can get together and do what we say we believe in doing, which is educating the whole child and working with the parents and the family and making school a safe place, I think that those will be inroads into possibly coming to a time when we don't need mental health days.
Superintendent Gamberg, I'm going to ask you to respond to this question. And Dean Alfano, I'd like you to jump in also.
Sure.
I've had some who have said to me, some parents, they basically have been very honest, and they said, look, if you want to succeed nowadays and if you want to get in a good college and have a good life, well, get used to this and learn how to cope. This is the new normal. Superintendent, I'll start with you, please.
Yes, certainly, Ron. Your previous guest who just spoke very well about, I was an elementary principal on 9/11, and I, too, looked around and thought about the well-being of those students in the dog-eat-dog world that we live in. And I don't know if it's as much getting used to these times as working to advocate to bring about a more healthy existence, both at the school level and in society at large. I mean, It definitely is a different world than when all of us were in school. We can all agree with that. Mm-hmm. And the genie is out of the bottle, as they say. So we're not going to turn back time, But at the same time, I don't think we should acquiesce and just, you know, capitulate to an unhealthy lifestyle that is not good for society or democracy in America at large.
Dean Alfano?
I completely agree. I think it oversimplifies the complexity of the problem, as the two colleagues on the line have described. And let's not forget that it's not just children and families that are quote unquote getting used to it, right? So we have a whole generation of teachers and leaders who are also experiencing significant additional layers of anxiety and secondhand trauma from students they're interacting with. There's a whole ecosystem here that has to be sort of addressed, right? We need healthy adults. We need healthy leaders within our buildings to help address exactly what your question gets at, is that if this is the new normal, then we need the people that are in charge and the people who are working with our children and our young adults with the proper sort of emotional and as well as the content and the specifics to the art and science of teaching. But it's requiring more and more of our teachers and our leaders as well. So I think just get used to it. It just unfortunately oversimplifies a very, very complex set of issues that impacts an entire ecosystem of people when we talk about educating the whole child.
Dean Alfano, you bring up an excellent point. And at some point, I'd like to have all of you back on for a full show so we can do a program that's not just about the students, but the stress on the teachers and the parents nowadays, because we just touched on it a little bit, but I think that needs to be expanded. I have about 2 minutes left. Could I ask each of you for closing thoughts, closing comments on this? Professor Filaro, can I start with you, please?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much. I've enjoyed speaking with my colleagues and also, you know, having the opportunity to contribute something to this discussion that I think is so important. I hope that we are able to help to remove the stigma of mental illness or depression or being different, not feeling like someone else, so that our schools are healthier places again for students and families to feel safe and feel like they are able to really concentrate on school and not concentrate on their anxieties and their depression. I think if we all work together, there's a very good chance that that can come about, and we are starting to see more programming that's addressing social and emotional learning, and I think that's an important thing too, helping kids understand how they're feeling and why. So I think all of those things are very important.
Dean Alfano, I have about 45 seconds for you, sir.
Yeah, my, I want to echo the thanks. Thank you for having me on and the opportunity to speak. I will just say that I think the senator's who was previously on, his instinct to want to address mental health concerns is to be applauded. Do I think that the specific legislation puts the bullseye necessarily where it needs to be? Not necessarily, and I think people like himself and other legislators around the country really need to be speaking like those of us on the phone right now to help more proactively, more definitively define legislation that can make the change that he spoke to, that he's very much interested in making.
Superintendent Gamberg, you have the last 45 seconds, sir.
Okay, thank you, Ron. So I, too, am thankful for the opportunity to share my thoughts and opinions on this. I think we do have to change the experience in school to have children play more in elementary school, to work more with their hands and have a feeling of connection to the world in a real way, that the stigma of mental health illness has to be removed, and resources, like my two colleagues have pointed out, need to be ramped up. It is a very complex ecosystem. I like that term that Dean Alfano used, that we have to pay attention to. And I would be more than happy, and I think many of my colleagues, I've been in education for over 30 years, and we've witnessed firsthand the changes in what students, teachers, and staff experience. And that lawmakers need to spend more time listening and paying attention to the professionals in the field.
David Gamberg is the superintendent of Southold and Greenport Schools on Eastern Long Island. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ron.
Professor Michael Alfano, Dean of the College of Education at Sacred Heart University. Dean Alfano, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Judy Filaro, Professor of Education at Quinnipiac University. Professor Filaro, thank you. Two guests are with me for the remainder of the program. Dr. Christopher Clouette is school superintendent in Shelton, Connecticut, and Patrice McCarthy is deputy director and general counsel for the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. Patrice, Dr. Clouette, good to have both of you back. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great to talk to you.
So, Dr. Kluwer, what do you think? Should Connecticut have mental health days for students where they won't get penalized? I mean, days that they could maybe just stay home, sleep, recharge, or maybe even get some assistance?
Well, my view is that clearly there is a problem in our society with anxiety. Some people call it ambient anxiety. So anxiety and other mental health conditions, depression being obvious, and I'm not in any way claiming to be a medical expert on these, but clearly there is an issue. I believe, however, that if a parent, with the exception of a parent taking a child in for an appointment with a trained psychologist or someone who has a mental health medical background, I believe that the children are better off in school rather than home alone. I think that being in school when confronting anxiety and or other mental health issues, in school is a better place to be. And I believe that we are well equipped to work with students and offer them the support they need.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying because I've read some of the comments online and some parents are concerned. They're saying, well, if the kid stays home, the kid's just going to sleep, get up, watch TV, play video games, and that's not really what they should be doing.
I'm more worried about kids that actually perhaps are in crisis or on the verge of crisis being home alone when they would be better off in a school setting where not only are they with friends, but they are with trained professionals that can support them.
Hmm. Patrice, what's your take? Have you heard anything about this?
We certainly have heard of several other states, including most recently New York, considering legislation that would require students to be able to take mental health days. I have to concur with Dr. Kluwer because really the school environment is a place where we are focusing more on developing social and emotional learning skills for our students. I actually am part of a Connecticut network that includes after-school providers, people running superintendent preparation programs, which are focusing more and more on the issues of social and emotional learning and the importance of building resilience in our students so that they are able to handle stress, recognizing that stress is going to occur in all of our lives.
Now, just for a little bit of background, I'm going to take a moment and just read a bit from a Newsday article. It was written by our friend Mike Gormley, and he works and writes out of Newsday's Albany office. And Michael wrote this in an article the other day. It says, far from authorizing a skip day or a Ferris Bueller day off, the bill from New York Senator Brad Hoyleman cites a serious spike in teenage suicides and the compounding pressures on youth's mental health as a reason to authorize a break. And he goes on, we need to recognize suicide and self-harm among young New Yorkers as the major public health crisis that it is, demolish the stigma around mental health care, and do everything within our power to help kids who are struggling seek treatment, said Hoyleman, who's a Democrat out of Manhattan. Dr. Kluwer, can I get your reaction to what he said?
Well, I agree with most of what he says. I agree that it is a public health issue. I just take a different view on how we can do everything in our power. I believe doing everything in our power would have the child in a school setting or in a setting with a trained mental health care professional. But staying home by yourself is not the recipe that I would recommend. I believe that the world that we are in now with its fast pace and with the constant connections to, you know, each other through the internet and what world, you know, wide web, et cetera, has changed the world considerably for young people. And young people are under a lot of pressure. There's no question about it. But I do believe that we are well prepared in our school settings to support children.
Patrice McCarthy, can I expand on that for just a little bit? Because, you know, there are some who are hearing this and they're saying, look, I don't get it. Back in my day, I had to study hard and get good grades, and I had a job after school because my family needed money. Kids today have it too easy and they complain too much. Do they have a point?
I really think that our students today, and actually our adults as well, are facing an unprecedented level of stress and pressure. Pressure to perform, pressure to compete with others, the
technology is a wonderful thing, but what it means is that 24/7, everyone is bombarded with messages, and not all of them are positive messages. So our students, when they're in school and have the support of trained professionals, can get the assistance that they need. If they go home and are home alone and they're on the internet and they're getting Twitter messages, they are getting a whole variety of messages that they may not have the skills to deal with appropriately. And I think that's why how we can support our students is really in the school setting.
So, Patrice, are you talking specifically about social media as a whole?
Social media certainly has an impact on everyone. We're not going to stop the use of social media, but what we have a responsibility to do is to make sure that young people are developing their own ability to cope, to filter the information they're receiving, and also in terms of removing the stigma, to be able to say, I need some help. I am experiencing stress beyond what is reasonable, and I need to be able to say either to my parents or to another trusted adult, I need to get some help.
Dr. Clouet, to pick up on this, is this spike that we're seeing due in part or a result in part because of what has taken place the last few years with social media?
I believe that is part of the pressure that's put on kids to always look perfect, be perfect. The way individuals tend to edit their lives, so to speak, in a social media setting, puts a lot of pressure on people to look great. Always have, you know, everyone always just went to the greatest party. They have the greatest clothes. Everything's great. And of course, that's just not reality. I would add though that schools are a good setting to support children because, for instance, in Shelton Public Schools, we have invested in using the Habits of Mind. Habits of Mind coming out of the work of Benna Kalik, who lives in Westport, and Art Costa, looks at 16 habits. One of the habits, I know Patrice McCarthy is very familiar with this, is resilience. But it includes empathy and resilience and a number of things that we believe are habits that will be a great gift to our students as they progress through our school district, grow up, and then go on to become adults.
Dr. Clouet, you talk with your students all the time. When you're talking with them about stress and anxiety, what are they telling you?
Yeah, well, one of the things that is a recurrent theme is the concern about what their place in the world is going to be. There was a time that you referenced people saying, well, when I was a kid, you know, I had a job after school and I just had to get through it. And I was certainly one of those kids, by the way. With that said, there's a real concern on the part of many young people that they don't see a clear pathway to adulthood where they end up as competent adults that are making contributions to society. It's the lines, career pathways, for instance, are not as clear as they once were. And again, the globalization of society adds to the reality that people that can do the work that used to be done here might now be in a country far away and competing with our kids, you know, for a much lower wage, for instance. All of those types of things lead to a crisis of a sense of self, and part of the reason I think the kids are in many cases facing anxiety and in some cases depression is because of a lack of certainty about where they will end up as adults. There's always been that to some extent as part of growing up, but now it's magnified.
Patrice, I know we're talking about younger students, but this appears to be a stretch across all grades. The other day, the Wall Street Journal ran an opinion piece, and the headline was, "There's a mental health crisis on campus," talking about colleges, universities. And the gist of the piece was that severe anxiety and suicides have skyrocketed. So it isn't just when we're talking about middle school or high school, right? This cuts across all ages.
It absolutely does. And I think that's why when students are in our K-12 public school system, the identification of these skills and making this a priority is a very appropriate role for the public schools to play. It's then, of course, as students move on to higher ed, important that the higher education institutions have supports in place so that students who have developed the ability to say, I know when I'm going to need to ask for help, that help is available to them.
Dr. Clouet, we're talking about the kids now, but are we looking in the wrong direction? I ask that because our kids are in many ways a reflection of us, of ourselves. Are we the parents causing the anxiety?
I think that sometimes is a factor, absolutely. And, how many times have your listeners been in a public setting where you'll see parents staring at their phones sitting right next to their child, where there's just no communication going on? I think all of that sort of thing can add to a sense of being alone and disconnected. With that said, yes, this is much bigger than just school systems. It's certainly a societal issue, and parents and families are certainly a part of that. My focus being a school superintendent is on the children in schools, but I agree with the notion that having some evening events for parents to talk about these things with some professionals present to talk about these kinds of issues would be useful.
Just out of curiosity, have you ever thought about when you have meetings at the school and so on saying cell phones are banned? Because I know the ones that I've been to, and you're absolutely right. You look around and half the parents are looking at their phones, responding to emails or texts because of work issues.
I think that would be an interesting idea to pursue. I will say that thanks to the Connecticut Association of Boards of Ed and also the CAPS, the Superintendent's Organization, we had at a conference recently Mark Brackett from Yale University, who had some very interesting insights about how emotions can be regulated and how to teach kids how to regulate their emotions to deal with things like anxiety.
So, Patrice, what are your thoughts on that? The role that parents play in terms of anxiety and social pressures?
Clearly, parents do play a role in that, and building their awareness of the impact of some of their behaviors that they have on their students, I think that's a very important piece of it. We recognize that it's often harder to change behaviors in adults than it is to change behaviors in young people. And so I think from the school perspective and the role of school boards in the state, that making this a priority as they are developing resources through their budget process, making sure that there's professional development available for the educators who are interacting with students every day, that's the role that our school boards and our K-12 system can play to support our students.
Dr. Clouet, I asked you before about what the students speak to you about. What are the parents telling you?
They're also worried about things like excessive testing. Certainly that's a common subject of concern, as well as homework. There is a movement afoot to ban homework. I'm not completely supportive of that, but the idea that there's just too much stress associated with testing is certainly a recurrent theme.
So, Dr. Clouet, can I just hold you there? Do you mean to ban all homework?
No, well, there is a movement. I am not a supporter of this movement, but there is a movement afoot to ban homework. I think that meaningful homework that allows students to truly practice what they've learned in class has a place. But for children that are, for instance, at Shelton High School, that are taking a full complement of courses, several advanced placement courses, each with lots of reading and lots of writing, and then adding homework to that, sometimes kids are up past midnight doing their homework, and that is too much. So I think some form of a balance has to be struck.
Patrice, have you heard about this and a movement to possibly ban homework?
I have not heard it discussed at all in Connecticut, no. But I think we always have to make sure that we are balancing the variety of priorities And certainly homework has a role in terms of developing students' ability to learn independently. So, like anything, I think an absolute ban on something may be counterproductive.
So with the minute and a half I have left with the two of you, Dr. Clouet, I'd like to start with you. Final thoughts, and what do you think should be done over the next year or so to help alleviate this problem?
I think that there has to be community conversations around Connecticut about mental health issues. It certainly it hasn't been mentioned in this conversation, but the whole parallel conversation about access to gun ownership and mental health issues is a factor. How students are doing is another factor. How adults, as you mentioned earlier, are trying to navigate family life in this new and challenging time that we live in. I think that community conversations about mental health for people of all ages would be a good starting point.
Patrice McCarthy, I have about 45 seconds for final thoughts.
I absolutely agree that we need to focus more on the mental health needs, particularly of our youngest people. They come to school with a variety of circumstances in their community and home life that can make it very difficult for them to cope if they don't have these skills. And we also need to look at civility at all levels of interaction, our public officials, our interactions with each other, because we're clearly in an era where we are probably, perhaps inadvertently in some cases, ratcheting up that level of stress.
Patrice McCarthy is Deputy Director and General Counsel for the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education, and Dr. Christopher Clouet is School Superintendent of Shelton, Connecticut. Always my honor to speak with both of you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for our show today. Joelle Schrock is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Our associate producers are Fatou Sangari, Sabrina Garone, Roberto Rojas. J.D. Allen is the producer. Ann Lopez is the senior producer. And Terry Sheridan is our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.